This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good evening, listeners, brave navigators of the enigmatic and the concealed. Have you ever felt the pull of the unanswered, the allure of the mysteries that shroud our existence? For more than a decade, a unique comic publisher has dared to dive into these mysteries, unafraid of the secrets they might uncover. This audacious entity is Paranoid American. Welcome to the mystifying universe of the Paranoid American podcast.
Launched in the year 2012, Paranoid American has been on a mission to decipher the encrypted secrets of our world. From the unnerving enigma of MKUltra mind control to the clandestine assemblies of secret societies. From the awe-inspiring frontiers of forbidden technology to the arcane patterns of occult symbols in our very own pop culture. They have committed to unveiling the concealed realities that lie just beneath the surface. Join us as we navigate these intricate landscapes, decoding the hidden scripts of our society and challenging the accepted perceptions of reality.
Folks, I've got a big problem on my hands. There's a company called Paranoid American making all these funny memes and comics. Now, I'm a fair guy. I believe in free speech, as long as it doesn't cross the line. And if these AI-generated memes dare to make fun of me, they're crossing the line.
This is your expedition into the realm of the extraordinary, the secret, the shrouded. Come with us as we sift through the world's grand mysteries, question the standardized narratives, and brave the cryptic labyrinth of the concealed truth. So strap yourselves in, broaden your horizons, and steel yourselves for a voyage into the enigmatic heart of the Paranoid American podcast, where each story, every image, every revelation brings us one step closer to the elusive truth.
Welcome to another Paranoid American podcast. They said I was in retirement, but I'm not in retirement. As you can see, I'm just dropping content left and right, 24/7 music, games, comic book, toys, podcasts, everything. And today I got homie Spade Morningstar, who's on the Tinfoil Trap mixtape that you can go to tinfoiltrap.com. You can check his music out there. But I want to just get right into it. Do all your plugs up front so we can just start chilling and talking about all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, hey, how y'all doing? My name is Spade Morningstar. I'm born from Cleveland, moved all around, you know, from Compton to Nashville. So I'm just a baby of the earth. and I just make music you can funk with.
Where can people find you? What's the best place to go and like listen to your music?
Oh man, I'm Spade. Oh, everywhere. Spade Morningstar. On every streaming service, SpadeMorningstarMusic.com. Come check me out.
All right. Let's get into some of this. So, are we living in a simulation? Like, is this even reality? They took my boy out right away, bro. Like,
man, they just knew he was about to get into some shit. I was like, they ain't about to do me like that now, is they? Okay.
All right, let me pose it one more time. Are we living in a simulation? Are we even in reality right now?
I believe some of us more than others. I believe the simulation isn't as simple as like a computer program like people think. I think that simulation is as big as a universe, as big as the Big Bang itself. You feel me? If that makes sense, like, yeah, you're damn right we living in a simulation. But then that means some of us in this motherfucker are NPCs and some of us are actually players. Like, it ain't an NPC for everybody.
If it's that big, then what do you think the difference is between reality and a simulation? Would there even be a difference to us?
To be honest, if we being real, no.
No.
unfortunately, it's like It's like asking, do a God know the difference between an ant and a human? No, it don't. It's not even on its radar of existence. And unfortunately, we lost that ability to see through the veil when we gave up, when we cling to humanity and gave up our connection to Mother Earth. Because like when we hear the word humanity, like humane, you hear something good, saving. I hear humanity. I hear destruction. I hear all the shit we destroyed, all the countless animals we done got the fuck up out of here. You feel me? All of the countless other humans we done got the fuck up out of here. So I feel like once we lost that ability to be one with nature and needed to continue to consume from the earth, we lost our ability to see through the veil of bullshit. Once we created the veil of bullshit, we lost our ability to see through it.
Is this what you would call like a black pill? You know what I mean when I say that?
Yeah, I feel you on that. Like I said, not a red pill, not a blue pill.
But the black pill, as I hear it, is almost like the doom pill. Like it doesn't matter if you take the yellow or the green or the blue or the red pill, because like we've already passed the point of no return. That's how I've understood what a black pill is.
If that's what it is, then yes. Please understand the name Spade Morningstar wasn't on accident. I'm not one of those who go, oh, the right side of politics or anything is right. Oh, no, the left side of politics or anything is right. I've always been on the stance of all of you humans are shitty. And you destroy the fucking earth daily. You disrespect yourselves and every living creature around you daily, and you have such a huge ego and God complex you can't even love the only planet you can fucking live on. So yeah, it might be too late for some of you motherfuckers, and the earth might just have to. If you got cancer, what are you gonna do? You're gonna kill them fucking cancer cells. So the earth might just have to get rid of enough of us until we get to acting right again. She's done it before, she'll do it again.
You were saying before too that it is a simulation as big as the universe. If we just go off of that, and you were mentioning that some people are NPCs. For you, an NPC, like can you tell someone just by looking or by talking to someone, or is it just like a game of numbers that there's got to be NPCs just because?
I think you can clearly tell who's an NPC because logic doesn't work with them. Like for me, if there is never a stance that I'm so hard on that if you provide me with evidence, you can't sway me over. A motherfucker, you can, it's like if I go, the sky is blue, and you go, I'm looking at it, it's red, purple, and fucking periwinkle. And I'm like, no, bitch, everybody know the sky blue. if no matter what I can say can convince you that the sky is fucking blue, it's because you were programmed to believe it was red, pink, and fucking periwinkle. And there's nothing I can do to go against your programming, even reprogramming you. I can't erase your source code. And for us to think that we can even help reprogram an NPC is a hell of an ego trip and a God complex for me, because you ain't create that motherfucker.
So do you think that if you encounter someone that you think is an NPC, is there anyone that can like deprogram them, or is that just part of the simulation? Like there's nothing you can do about it?
Bro, no, it's part of the simulation. When you play Skyrim, are you trying to decode the NPCs or get through the game? Hey, well, fuck that NPC, let him stay there walking into the wall like, would you like to buy some tin? Like, nigga, no, I'm good.
Well, hey, if we stay with the Skyrim analogy, like there are people out there that mod Skyrim and hack it and turn it into a whole different game for like their own choosing. Do you think that would be possible if we're in a simulation right now? You think Spade Morningstar could turn into a hacker and like Neo is way into some like Skyrim type stuff?
100%. But that idea is why we at the problem we at now. It's like scientists going, I wonder if I can, and not going, I wonder if I should. You feel me? Like, who told your ass to create a whole motherfucking universe? It's like, of course, Spade Morningstar can become a hacker tomorrow that creates some beautiful Skyrim world that I then create a VR that sucks niggas in that bitch like it's Sword Art Online. But also, why would your evil ass create Sword Art Online anyway? Stop doing evil shit. Like, just eat some fucking fruit and fuck some bad bitches. God damn.
I mean, if we're in a simulation, though, wouldn't eating fruit and fucking bad bitches kind of just be like one of the DLC content? Like, I just like a mini game somewhere in the simulation we're stuck in?
Those be the best parts of the game.
Yeah, okay. So
I've never finished any Grand Theft Auto game. I've never wanted to.
What's the first video game you remember playing growing up?
First video game I ever remember playing or like liking?
Well, let's say liking. Let's say liking.
I became a really big fan of Sly Cooper.
Okay,
the so Raccoon, it was a PlayStation game. One? Sly Cooper, one and he was a thief. Yep. I think it was two. It started on two. I remember playing Sega and stuff as a kid. I had an N64, the purple one that was see-through. So I remember playing all the N64 games, but I remember falling in love with video games, playing Sly Cooper. He was this raccoon that would like steal and shit. He was like a cat burglar. That was a raccoon. that was it. That was it, Sly Cooper.
Man, that's the first time that I heard that game come up since I think it was actually out back in the day. And yeah, I remember it had like a cartoony kind of look, like that, like a cel shaded look before any other games were really trying to lean that way.
Yeah, no, man, I loved it. I loved it. And of course, like a second one I can compete with it, Tony Hawk American Wasteland specifically.
You got to remind me what the difference is, because I remember all the Tony Hawk.
That was the first. That was the first free range one, where like you had a world you could just go free range in and do side missions and shit like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you got to create your own character like fully, and like it was a free range world. You got to unlock different parts of LA and shit like that, and go to Dogtown and all of that shit. It was really dope.
Do you think in retrospect, was that a net positive, like getting into Tony Hawk, like the whole generation, not just you, but everybody that got hooked on playing Tony Hawk and skateboarding, like in this virtual world?
Yes, because I feel like we're the only ones who are going to be able to survive the simulation. Our parents aren't going to be able to.
Why is that?
Our grandparents aren't going because the simulation was already beaten to them before they was given the juice. You feel me? Like, it's, they see that guy to take a mind over young. Like, I think the generation after us is fucked. But, like, the millennials and even Gen Z got this special place where they sat in the middle of almost another industrial revolution with electronics. That Y2K, that early, like me, I was born in 93. So I got to see, I was forced to come in before the streetlights came on. I was still able to use a payphone. But I also remember Google, and I also can use everything on a computer. My brother's in IT, you feel me? So, like, my younger cousin has been doing coding since elementary school.
So that's wild. I mean, that's a whole new sort of generation that's doing that now.
Yeah, they got coding in elementary schools. It's just regular everyday classes and shit now. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm not surprised when the older generation can't, unless they took a lot of ass in the show back in the day, they can't. It's hard for them to. They were already brainwashed with religion and the violence that came with the physical world in that sense. And now they get the violence of the physical world, the bashing of religion, and not being able to understand the computers is connected to. That's just not. Ashanae, she locked outside. Let her in. That's just not the, excuse me.
Had to you're good.
Delegate some tasks. But that's just, I forgot what I was saying. I'm higher than giraffe ass.
Well, no, you were making a good point, but you also mentioned that you were born in 93. So I think 9/11, you were probably 8 years old, something like that.
Oh, no, I remember 9/11. I remember 9/11. Like it was yesterday.
What do you remember about it?
I remember being forced to get under a table, like under my desk. And we were in Cleveland. Like, we were all the way in Cleveland. I remember people hating the fuck out of Cleveland because they came out of Northeast Ohio. So, like, we got blamed for that for a little bit. And to be honest, the thing I remember most was having to like go with my father afterwards, rest in peace, my stepfather, to protect boys at the mosque because they were like getting jumped and like they were spray paint sand nigger on the side of the fucking mosque and shit. And like, and it was so weird to do that there because there wasn't, Cleveland doesn't have a lot of Arabs. Like, there wasn't like even an Arab mosque. It was a Nation of Islam mosque. It made no sense. It was niggas. Like, it was just motherfuckers from the South who moved up to Cleveland. Like, they from right here. They granddaddies fought in Vietnam. They great granddaddies fought in World War II. They great great granddaddies fought World War I. Like, it made zero sense to do that to them. And what I think I would remember most about that day is like being glad that I got to leave that school. Like, we got the rest of the day off.
School day? Yeah.
Oh, they let us off immediately, and it was early in the fuck, early as fuck in the day, so I got to enjoy my day. I went to the park. I smoked some weed. Like, it was a great day.
Do you remember at the first time, or if ever, I'm going to assume that at some point you started hearing about the 9/11 conspiracy theories and about being an inside job, and George Bush knew about it, and that there was...
Well, I started hearing that shit. I started hearing that shit young. My stepfather was a Mason. So I started hearing that very young, like immediately, about Cheney, this owning the company that built those, the metal, bearings inside of the Trade Center and how they owned the sister company that built that joint. And I believed it immediately because I was raised by Black Panthers. I saw what the fuck y'all did to them. My mama from LA, my dad from Cleveland. You feel me? His family from the like the Carolinas and shit. So they Geechee. I saw what y'all did to the Geechee people. How y'all still stealing our land, right there. I saw what they did to the Black Panther movement. I saw what they did with crack. I remember being 9 years old, walking in a playing hide and seek and shit in the park, going under the little bridge in Forest Hill Park in Cleveland and finding a big ass crate, a green crate with US on the top filled with guns and cocaine. Kilos. And I'm not the only one. You hear stories.
Now we're having a party.
Hell. Yeah, you feel me? But my first thought being a kid from that area wasn't to party. It was, I need to get this to my mama. We won't have to worry about eating ever again. And that's what they planned on. So no, I'm not surprised that they'd do that to a building. They done killed whole black cities to build a park. Seneca Village is Central Park now. They done, like they about to build an amusement park over Lake Lanier. I'm not surprised. So I definitely wasn't surprised then because I was radicalized very young. I will say that. Everything around me pointed to it.
I mean, you bring a lot of good points up because a lot of people discount that I don't even know what the numbers are because this kind of thing doesn't make it out in the census reports, but the number of Black Americans that are predisposed to conspiracy theory just because they've paid attention and that they've been the brunt of some of those conspiracies for like a century. So it's almost like you don't have to convince somebody because they've heard about the Tuskegee experiments or they've heard about Iran-Contra and the crack epidemic with the CIA. But if you try and tell someone that doesn't really have any relation to any of the outpour of that, it's almost like it sounds like conspiracy theory. So, I mean,
and then
go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish the statement. I'm sorry.
I guess the question just being that, do you feel that when like a conspiracy theory comes out, you're more predisposed to believe it more so than be skeptical of it?
I am more likely to be skeptical of anything coming from an establishment. Because I know you have an agenda. I am more likely to believe my ancestors when they say, no, the books on the Tuskegee experiment was wrong. They weren't giving us flu shots or none of that shit. They were straight up injecting us with syphilis. They weren't doing some weird experiment. They were just injecting us with syphilis. Yeah, I will believe my grandfather over the police. I mean, over the fucking establishments that did it. I don't care what bill you sign that say now we got to, what Freedom of Information Act. And so you admitted to doing this evil shit, and I'm supposed to believe you when you say you don't do some new evil shit?
Well, we're over that now. We're over. We've done all the evil stuff. We've learned our lesson. We're on the up and up now.
No, I'm sorry. Freddy Krueger is sitting at your dinner table like, I'm sorry. I don't be in dreams just slicing up little girls no more. He'd be like, okay, Freddy, we believe you. No, fuck out of here, nigga. Like, hell no, Cass. I graduated in 2009, cuz. I was supposed to graduate in 11. Graduated early. Smart motherfucker, yeah. But my high school history books had fucking John F. Kennedy as the damn president. That shit was intentional. Like, that was intentional.
To be clear, you're saying like you were issued books that hadn't been updated since the 60s.
That's what I said. That's what I meant. That hadn't been updated since the 60s.
Yeah, so like 30 years, like literally 30 years old.
Literally 30-year-old books. Like in schools that have an agenda to not teach you. When I see these new laws that they pass in about Israel, about what you're not allowed to say, I'm like, so I don't have the right to protest no more. I'm afraid of my little sister in college. Like, I'm like really afraid for my little sister.
Was she protesting?
No, she just in college. And she got a big ass mouth like me.
Okay, I understand.
You feel me? And then she got the family gene to smack a bitch, and that just make it worse.
How do you sort of restrain yourself out and like if you had to go out and just do some normal shopping or whatever, and you just hear NPCs nonstop? Do you just go into your own little world? Do you just discount it all and just keep living your own path, or do you ever fuck with them? Do you ever like try and mess with the source code at all?
To be honest, it depends. Like, they're gonna hate me for this one. It's a lot of like Black Hebrew Israelites up here in DC where I'm at mm-hmm. now, and like I try to ignore them. But recently, I be dressing a little flamboyant sometimes. I know it's kind of hard to tell, but I'm gay than a bitch, even though I got like a badass wife. You feel me? So like I was dressed a little feminine that day, and they just decided to say something about Babylon and all this shit. And I did grow up in the church, so I could just get to debating the moment. And like, so to answer your question, I slap people.
You'd slap back Hebrew Israelites?
Yeah, no, we was out there fighting on the corner, cuz. So I slap people. I'm sorry. You can't. I've learned from like years of protesting and marching and talking that talking don't work. You know what works? Smacking the fuck out of motherfucker.
What about on the spectrum between smacking someone and making music? Like, do you think that those are even on the same spectrum? Like, could you try and convince somebody through music, or is it both? You got to smack them and make music.
You got to smack them and make music. I'm sorry, Bob Marley didn't just make music. He smacked motherfuckers and made music. I don't know why I got to pick between the two. Like, no, I can, in the words of the great Mike Tyson, everybody got a plan until they get punched in the fucking mouth. So, like, I can tell you, hey, yo, you are fucking evil. You a damn fascist. You hate humans. And if you don't stop, I'm going to punch you in the fucking mouth. And then when you don't stop, I punch you in the fucking mouth. And like, that's like, I promise you, like, like every situation you can bring up, there's never been a time where talking got it solved. I don't give a fuck how much you preach MLK. You wouldn't have been able to do that shit without Malcolm X. like, I'm not trying to hear none of that. If I break into your house right now, are you going to talk me out of that bitch?
A lot of people might try, man. A lot of people might try.
Oh, thank you. While I clean your shit out, can you give me their address? thank you. No, that's just dumb as fuck. If a bear try to come in my house right now, I'm not trying to talk him out my shit. I'm trying to shoot him out my shit.
What do you, I don't know what I know that the laws are pretty strict in DC about a bunch of stuff, but you were saying that it's pretty lax around mushrooms, right?
Yeah, no, we got decriminalized mushrooms. We got I-81, so you can grow them in your house now.
What does that mean exactly? Like any amount? Do you have to? Are you limited to a certain number of tubs, or can you just go crazy?
Well, I think it's like a few peas or something like that.
I mean, wet or dry? Are we talking?
I think dry.
I mean, that's a lot, man. That'll keep you and your family sustained through like the whole season. You know what I mean?
That's the point. For me and all my family and friends.
What's the best thing to do in Washington D.C. on mushrooms?
To be honest, go around the city and peep how much like witchcraft is made just like in the infrastructure. Like how much masonry and Masonic shit is built in the infrastructure. Like sometimes you'll be sitting in the park and like, why the fuck am I sitting in the middle of a pentagram that's sitting in the middle of a circle? Like, or like you'll go to certain parts of the neighborhood and they'll legit have like 6-point stars on one side and then like the fucking Mason triangle on the other side of the street, and certain buildings like got the north, south, east, west on them at the north, south, east, west entrance, but just like they look exactly like a compass. It's, yeah, you peep some shit.
What do you think that does? Like, what do you think that would do to you if you went there and you sat in that park and you're in the middle of that star?
To be honest, I think it has different meanings. I think more people are worried about like getting to this next plane, and I think like, or like it being like a portal to some demons or some crazy shit. And what I truly think is that it's gonna really be more like, it is an energy sucker. It takes away your ability to use your magic. You feel me?
Is that just because someone else made that star? Like, what if you made a star and sat in the middle of it? Do you think that changes anything?
I don't think if magic worked, it would work that easy. Life, in order to make something like that happen, you need a lot of life. I see the slaves that they forced to build it. And they blood, sweat, and tears dripping into that ground as they build this pentagram for a motherfucker who hate them, and all of their energy being siphoned from them to build it. So how much energy would you need to counteract that? And yeah, to some motherfuckers, I might sound like completely insane, but I'm going to be real. I believe in magic. Like 100%.
I mean, that's why we're here, man. We're here to talk about that. You know what I mean? I'm not here to talk about the rational aspects of it.
Facts. Give me one moment. Can you still hear me and see me?
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead. Do what you got to do.
All right. Perfect. Perfect. Just getting in the crib so I can charge this phone. Ooh. All righty. There we go. And now I'm back, like 4 flats on a Cadillac.
Well, you were talking about magic. Do you think that magic's like inherently good or evil?
No, I don't think there is a good or evil. I think there's very few things in this world that is completely evil. One of those things being pedophiles. They're completely evil. there's very few things in this world that can be considered completely evil. Like, I can give you a whole bunch of good reasons to murder a motherfucker.
What are other ones aside from like the Epstein's out there? What are some other like pure evil you think?
Being willing to commit genocide. Being willing
to commit. What kind of scale are we talking? Like if I go out and I take out an ant colony, does like
I think that's just as, to be honest, I think that's just as evil as wiping out 1 million humans. Because why the fuck did you do that? Ants are intelligent animals. And even if they weren't, they're still alive. Think it's okay for you to kill 1 million lives no matter what it is? It's one thing to eat and to live of the earth. It's another thing to take advantage of it. Hey, goddess. I'm about to say you look lovely. Yes. Sorry, no, but yeah, you kill 1 million ants. To me, you just as evil as the motherfucker who killed 1 million humans, man. They don't, because why did you go and kill an ant farm, evil motherfucker? Like, that's something to do.
You're starting to break up a lot right now.
Okay. Let me make. Snip.
There we go.
My jaw is 1%. Cuz. Okay. Good. Alrighty.
We're back.
Yeah. I'm back.
I mean, I'm intrigued by the concept of like genocide on ants, genocide on humans. Like, how small does that go? Like, if you get a scrape on your knee and it gets infected, and you put some Bactine on there, some iodine or something, and you're wiping out, you know, thousands of little bacteria cells, is that the same level of like evil genocide?
It's one thing to protect yourself. It's one thing to protect yourself. It's another thing to. It's another thing to kill for fun or gain. And those two things are totally different for me. It's like, it's like the cancer thing I said to you earlier. If you have a cancer in your body, you're going to do things to get those cancer cells the fuck out of here. Cancer cells are still living cells, but it's killing you. You have to survive. But if you go out and just like murder a whole bunch of shit, you're like, you know what? I think I'm just about to fuck some squirrels up today. Like, why, sir? Why is you fucking up squirrels? Like, they're part of the ecosystem for something. Like, it's different, if that makes sense.
Well, I got a hypothetical for this here, right? So there's legitimate people that will go out hunting that maybe it's to cull certain types of breed. Like, you know, a lot of deer hunters, like if they didn't hunt deer, the deer would become overpopulated and cause even bigger problems for themselves. So that's one of the justifications that at least getting venison and deer. But then if you were to accept that, okay, there's like this this moral aspect. So we the only motherfuckers eating, eat deer? What's that?
We the only animals eat deer?
Are we the pretty much, yeah. I mean, they have some natural predators, but they don't have enough natural predators to naturally cull the herd. So if it weren't for humans, deer would be running. And then the crazy part is that if you were to say, like, you know what, no one killed deer anymore, just leave the deer alone, then they start moving in on the crops. And now all of a sudden, if you're vegetarian because you're not eating deer, now there's more deer to eat your vegetation. So now you don't even get to be a vegetarian.
Oh, no, facts. And to be honest, that makes sense. That makes sense. But that's not a genocide. You feel me?
Right. Well, the hypothetical here being that there could be a hunter out there that's going for the kill, you know, does like the clean shot. He's out there to cull the herd. He intends to use the meat and feed his family and all that. But there could also be a hunter out there that just wants to kill animals just for the feeling of killing animals and has absolutely nothing about killing the herd. Right. But if he's taking the deer out and then like his buddies are the one that are taking it and dressing it and you like they've got all the good intent. I don't know. It's hard just because you would never know if that dude was evil.
Has a big part of it. But also it's like that intent matters so much because it also says how you feel about other living beings. It's one thing to kill for sustenance and to keep the way the world is going, like the food chain moving as it's supposed to. It's like no different than doing it in a garden. You feel me? But it's another thing to go, you know what? I'm a hunter because I like seeing the life leave from animals. My kids say, I want to hunt animals because I want to see the life leave from them. He getting a fucking therapist.
Yeah, well, to be fair, I think and I hope that that's like an extreme minority. I think most,
to be honest, and I'm sorry, to be real, I don't think that's an extreme minority for humans.
Really? You don't think so? Oh, for
humans? No, humankind has showed us over and over and over again, the best thing we're good at is violence.
It's a fair point.
That's what we do. Like, no matter how far we go back, everything we invent, the first thing we do with it is fuck it or kill with it. Like, that's what we're best at. Out of all the great things Albert Einstein did, his science was still used to kill millions.
I mean, I think maybe it's just really easy. It's so easy to use power to hurt people, and it's so much harder to use power to help people. So that
it ain't.
You don't think so? You think it's just as easy to help people than it is to hurt?
It's so much more money in hurting people.
You you need reliable appliances to help you conquer the day. And Menards is the one-stop shop for huge savings on new energy-efficient appliances. We carry the largest in-stock selection, starting at low prices and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Upgrade today and save big money on new appliances right now at Menards. Save big money at
Menards. Why do you think that is? Like, I honestly don't understand why it's why it would necessarily be inherently profitable to do bad things versus doing good things.
Because I'm going to put it like this. If I heal you today, I've healed you. Kind of like the medical industry. Huh? Bro, I don't know nothing right now. I'm going to just check this bed. It's in here. Check this stove. Check this bed. Perfect. Thank you. No, for me, it's like, sorry, I got a little lost. We had a little technical difficulties on the stove.
You're good, man. Damn, you're good.
It's hotter than 6 fat bitches and 30 meat coats having sex in the sauna with no AC on in this bitch. Shit.
Are you working on any projects right now?
In the middle of June.
Are you working on any music projects right now?
Yes. I apologize for the niggotry. Yes. yeah, I got some new projects. I'm working on my first blues joint. I usually stick to hip hop, R&B, stuff like that. But I've been working on some jazz and some blues. So I got Black Love and a Brownstone coming out. It's going to be a short film as well. And I have Toxic Fruit, which is a nice, good jazz joint. It's real.
Is this like a Nina Simone nod?
Kinda. It's giving. I don't know if you're familiar with Howlin' Wolf.
Yeah, Howlin' Wolf.
Yeah. It's like Howlin' Wolf meets Brent Faiyaz.
You lost me on the second reference.
Yeah. No, he a new R&B singer. I barely like him. I just know the people who watch him, they gonna get it. They gonna get it. So for somebody who you might know, it's really giving like Amy Winehouse meets Howlin' Wolf.
And what's the project for, you know, you said you're going to do blues and jazz instead of hip hop. Is there like a certain reason that you went for blues? Like you didn't do, I don't know, techno, or you didn't do like a reggae?
Well, to be honest, I'm working on a whole bunch of different music, but that's just what I have coming, what I have planned on coming out and promoting. I've been playing with some techno sounds and some house sounds recently, playing with some UK bass sounds. I've gotten really into a whole bunch of like different pop sounds. And it's this one type of music that come out of like Russia. It's this one band. I can't pronounce the name, but they Russian and they like Asian. And it's like real tribal, the drums, the boom, boom. And shit, like I've been playing with those sounds a lot. So I've been wanting to like have shit, like I've been trying to like just experiment with music in a way that just like fucks your mind. Cause for me, hip hop is all music. Hip hop is the amalgamation of all Black American music. And unfortunately, Black people created all this, the music we got here. I'm not saying we ain't had no help here and there, but American music, you get to the roots, they get very colorful. So no matter.
Are you trying to claim polka too? Are you claiming polka too?
Is polka American or is that like German or something?
Well, I mean, the Germans brought it here, so it's like exactly, mid. I mean, is America not German? Yes. You know.
And I will say this: no, polka fire is shit. And really? who made polka popular in the 90s?
Steve Urkel made it popular in the 90s.
Yeah, that's the only reason I know about polka.
Let's talk about Steve Urkel for a split second. What was Family Matters a net positive or a net negative for America as a whole?
Net positive. Net positive.
Why is that?
Because it was just that fucking family. They took very hard topics and made them light as a fucking feather. Ever it made people, it made racist people love black people. You couldn't hate the black cop that taught good values. You couldn't hate the little genius next door that made you laugh with his antics. You couldn't hate a two-family home. Black or white, you could not hate. Family Matters, everybody loved it. And then it was a spinoff of a very famous white show anyway. So like, it was the perfect, and where I feel Martin and the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is definitely more aimed at our culture. Family Matters easily blended our cultures a little more. Like, and not with per se showing more white people, but them being able to be comfortable, sit down on a Friday evening and watch a family sitcom about black people that wasn't painting them out to be, what's that ignorant ass show that my damn grandma used to watch? Good Times, that shit. Like, it don't paint you as the shucking and jiving, food stamp getting, that shit. No, that shit wild, cuz, like.
In fact, there were some episodes where Carl was talking to Eddie. That I think Carl was the dad, the cop, and Eddie was like his older son. And he was in no uncertain terms, like speaking against acting like Good Times, and it almost like steered it in a very like strict way that a lot of people weren't used to seeing in sitcoms like that.
Yeah, and to be honest, I needed it. For somebody like me, I feel like the only reason I was able to ever trust a cop was because of shows like Family Matters. I didn't see any good cops, white or black, growing up. So the few cops that may be good out there, only reason they got a chance was because of that show.
Because of Family Matters, because Carl was such a damn good dad and a good cop that...
Yeah, and the kind of same thing with like Fresh Prince. The only reason I trust judges is because of Uncle Phil.
Do you think that could be programming though? The judge
might be able to do his actual job is because Uncle Phil did his actual job.
Could that be like that MK Ultra programming though, where it's like, hey, let's throw a good cop in a TV show every once in a while?
No, 100%. I feel like right now we got that with The Rookie. Like, that's copaganda every time I hear it. Like, now the song is catchy. I love that shit. Is that a baton in your pocket? Are you just happy to see me? That shit hard. But but it's copaganda all fucking day, cuz. I still watch Special Victims Unit. That don't mean that we're not going to talk about the fact that, if we're going to be honest, Detective Stabler was a fucking violent racist cop.
In the show, you mean?
Yeah, Detective Stabler was violent as fuck, racist as shit. Tutuola was racist and he was black. And what kind of black man is named Tutuola? That shit is weird.
What's the weirdest, what's some of the weirdest names that you've heard? Because I had,
I'm sorry, what did you say?
What are some of the weirdest names you heard? Because I grew up with a friend called Born Divine, and one of my homies,
Born Divine,
12 o'clock RIP, but like all of him and all of his friends and family were basically all 5% named. So I always liked chilling with people that had like interesting names, like,
oh yeah,
Born Unique, see, Divine, and Song so Unique was ODB.
And God, when we first started, makes sense. Weirdest names. I actually know a Shaniqua and a Shanane.
Mm-hmm.
I think the weirdest names I've heard. Oh, this girl from Cleveland. All right, son. I guess I'm about to go ahead and spill it. So back in the hood, so I'm from EC, cuz, and back on the hood, it's this girl named Mon Cheri. But her name not really Mon Cheri. It's Mon Cherry. Cuz her mom
I got a mom named Mon Cheri.
Yeah, no, but her name is Mon Cherry. Like,
oh, Mon Cherry. Okay.
Yeah, cuz her mama can't spell and she didn't know it was French. And she took it so serious, she had a tattoo on her ass cheek. Don't ask me how I know it was there. She had a tattoo on her ass cheek of a cherry and a piece of a calendar where it said Monday. And it was like, Mon Cherry.
I got a question for you. Let's say her obviously it probably affected her, but like people that have like really unique names, like it's not just like, you know, Bob or Charles or James or something. Do you think that affects you? Like if you had a different name, how much do you think that guides like what your experience in life is?
I think that it guides. I think that just shows, if anything, it affects them by showing the ignorance in everyone else. Because I've never once heard society complain about saying Arnold Schwarzenegger. I've never once ever heard anyone complain about saying Renee Zellweger. So I'm sorry. It definitely when motherfuckers be trying to like ruin Spanish names. Like I heard a motherfucker go, Maria. I was like, bitch, y'all know I say Maria. my name is Aaron. I've had motherfuckers call me Arun. Nah, that's the stage for saying that. No, but my legal first name is Aaron. Now, granted, I'm not gonna tell you, fuck it. I can't. What they gonna do? Whip my ass? My first name is Edin Wanyel. A teacher can fucking pronounce that. It's not hard. You feel me? But it just showed a racism within them. It didn't really affect me none. My mother's name is Eltania. I got a little cousin named Sunshine.
So Sunshine's a good example. Sunshine. Do you think that Sunshine is like makes someone happy, more optimistic, or any of that? Or do you think that it's like a net negative on somebody? Like where now no, you expect them to have that?
I think names matter. I think when you name your child something, that words have magic in them. So if you constantly spitting out bullshit or writing out bullshit every day, then it's going to affect you. So if you got a name that is just bland, gives you no personality, doesn't represent yourself, then, and you're writing it every day, no, you're probably not going to love it. So if my daughter is 7 years old and go, you know what, Dad, I really like the name Sunshine. I want to go by that for a while. She could write that shit every day. Because what's going to hurt with her manifesting sunshine? What is that going to hurt? What is going to hurt her manifesting brightness? You feel me? If anything, I would hate for my kid to be... Like, my name is Aaron. I got to write the name of a fucking Hebrew slave every day? How the fuck is that supposed to, like, inspire the energy around me to give me anything other than feeling oppressed?
Well, I mean, on that note, what about Mon Cherry? Would Mon Cherry kind of like give you something to look forward to? Like, no one's got this name. It's a unique name.
No, it just made her mama look ignorant than a motherfucker.
Okay, I mean, it's a fair point. It's a fair point. But what about the person itself?
My Cherry, we even heard that joke. That just, no. When she did that at the hospital, they knew it was wrong and they didn't stop her. Them nurses some assholes. They could have.
That's a good point. Yeah. So are the nurses complicit if they just come up with some like random name off the cuff and they get it wrong and no one corrects them in the emergency room or in the, you know, delivery room? Do you think that that's on the nurse too for like playing along with it?
Hell yeah, bro. No, man. Nurses be playing games in that delivery room sometimes. No, one time. When my cousin, baby mama had her baby, the way the nurse walked out and went, definitely want a DNA, had me like, ma'am.
She's throwing shade on the way out.
Yes, she looked at him and went, honey, definitely want a DNA. I see green eyes. I'm like, no, this. She was right, though. That baby was not his. And she was right. She was right. But, you know, if the nurse see you write down some wild shit. Like, I know somebody who named their kid Vagina. You named your... It's this feminist chick out here who named her son Vagina. How the fuck is he supposed to... He goes to school in America, cuz, like... What? The lunch table is about to eat him alive. Middle school is about to... Vagina? Coming out for the so-and-so football team, number 69, Vagina!
It's honestly the ultimate troll. If you name your kids something that you're not really supposed to say out loud, but now you're sending them to school and you're signing up for sports, and like now you're putting that burden on whoever's got to call the name out. And I don't know. That's kind of an interesting way to mess with society a little bit.
But it's also an interesting way to mess with a fucking elementary school kid that has to stand in front of the school and go, "Hi, my name's Vagina."
Well, I mean, it reminds me of that the country song, Johnny Cash, right? Boy Named Sue, about like the guy, like his dad names him Sue just because he knows that he's going to be tormented for his entire life and it's going to toughen him up because like no one expects this boy to be named Sue. I mean, it's the story is about him kind of like his dad being a dick.
Sorry, you kicked me out.
I'm just going to play like a little animatic, and then I'm just going to be followed by a bunch of questions. So I'm just going to play right here.
Hey, conspiracy buffs, I double dare you to take some PCP, the Paranormal Conspiracy Probe. On your marks, get set, and go.
All right, cool.
All right, so I'm going to mention a topic, and you're just going to give me a rating from 1 to 10 based on how much you believe that topic. So 1 means you don't believe it, 10 means you do believe it, and if you're on the fence or you don't care, or, you know, you don't, like, haven't thought about it before, you can just throw a 5 at it. Does that make sense?
Bet.
All right. So we'll start out real easy. Bigfoot. Where are you at?
100% believe.
So a 10. 100. So 100. Yes. Okay.
100. Well, Bigfoot 100% exists.
What about, all right, let's do some other cryptids. What about, like, Mothman?
I believe in it. I give it a 10.
What about Chupacabras?
I'm Mexican. I 100% believe in chupacabras and skinwalkers.
And like Loch Ness Monster, are you 10 on that too?
Yeah, and to be honest, I think Nessie chilling over there in like the Amazon, just chilling, eating shit.
Yeah, shout out to my homie Ben, who actually wrote a book on those like lost dinosaurs that are in South America. So 1 to 10 that 9/11 was an inside job.
1,000. If anybody says 9/11 was an inside job, they're not paying attention.
What about Oklahoma City inside job 1 in 10?
I'm 50-50 on that. But I am more leaning towards it being an inside job just because that's how America fucking works.
What about flat earth theory? Where are you on that from 1 in 10?
Zero. I would just be 1,000 with it. I'm not a flat earther at all.
Not at all? What about...
not at all.
What about dinosaurs? The way that we're taught about dinosaurs in school and Jurassic Park and Land Before Time and all that.
I think it was a little bit different. My theory is that humans used to be bigger. I think like the stories we hear of giants was really just our ancestors for real, okay?
So
and that shit pop out sometimes. And people like Shaq and Yao Ming. And shit like that.
So the fact that we got Shaq is evidence that dinosaurs might have existed.
Hell yeah. And to be honest, I don't think they had scales and shit. I think a T-Rex just looked like a big ass chicken.
Like I heard that one too. I've heard that. Or like a frog.
Like a big ass sharp tooth chicken. Like, yeah, I can see a rhino being a big ass rhino with 3 horns. Have you seen? I've seen a tiger up close. I've seen a wolf up close. I believe dire wolves existed. Don't we know they existed? Like, yeah, no, I believe that shit. I believe there were dinosaurs. I just think that I believe that we were a lot farther scientifically, like societal-wise, than we claim. I think humans were a lot farther, like, advanced during that dinosaur era, or we were just big as shit. That's the only ways we were surviving. We were big as the dinosaurs, punching these big-ass chickens in the mouth. Or or we were just so advanced that we weren't worried about them motherfuckers. They was food.
How about 1 to 10 that human beings have set foot on the moon at some point in the last 100 years?
10, don't think it was America. Think it was China or Russia.
How much do you believe in the American moon landing footage?
Zero.
You think that was Stanley Kubrick involved?
I don't know who filmed it. I know that shit was fake.
What about angels and demons? 1 to 10.
100%. Except they just live right here. And angels don't exist. They all just demons.
You know, so you give demons a 10, angels a 0?
No, I give them both a 10. We just gave them titles like angels and demons, and they're all just fucking demons.
Got you.
Oh, no, I'm hooked up to the... Yeah. No, I think we just gave them titles like, oh, this one's good because he did something nice for me. And this one's bad because he did something nice for them. And all of them is just fucking demons with the ulterior motive.
You got any thoughts on AI right now? Like the way that it's being used for just everything?
It needs to slow down. I think Drake need to be jumped in an alley to use Tupac's fucking voice. Disrespectful cut. Fucking, what's happening, Crody? Like, fuck out of here. Like, that's like Kendrick ate him up. I think it needs to be used respectfully, and I think it needs to be used sparingly, because this is going to take a lot of jobs. This is going to, and when really we can use it to advance, we can use it to make things easier and not replace. And the powers that be want to use it to replace. And they will shortly find out this shit will become iRobot. And I'm not helping this country fight, not now, not the motherfucking war.
What about it being used for music?
Man, no. Ever? Yes and no. I am not okay with it being used to to compensate for the lack of creativity. And I'm definitely not okay with it for rappers. Rapping is a fucking skill. Like it's one thing if you're a drummer and you use AI for chords, you're not a pianist. You're a drummer. But you're a fucking drummer who use AI drums. Pick up the sticks, bitch. Like, like if I figure out the motherfucker, if I'm in a battle, right? We done put money on the line. I put up 10 grand, I put up 10 grand, and we about to battle. And I figure out that you got your bars from an AI. I'm gonna catch you in the alley and I'm gonna rob you.
Is that a real thing? Are people putting up 10 grand to battle rap online and take the earnings?
Hell yeah. You want to battle me? You better put up 10 grand.
It sounds like it would be too easy to game that. What if you just had a whole bunch of like bot army show up and like, how do the rankings work on that?
Well, a lot of the times it'd be like, well, it depends. You feel me? People hire judges and shit like that. Like I've been in a few where they like legit had judges. Like with Go Gateway, it wasn't at least 10 grand. This was early in my career. Go Gateway, they had one where they had judges there, impartial judges. And I would say they're impartial because I had never even met the motherfuckers before. None of them had ever seen me a day in their life. I just showed up, ate niggas to fuck alive, walked away with $1,000. Like,
are you still battle rapping regularly?
No, because I've just been really focused on like the instrumentation and everything. Like I play 17 instruments and like I be putting my vocal shit forward because I'm the front man. You feel me? But Spade Morningstar is a musician. So sometimes you're going to get hip hop or you're going to get like the joint I gave for the Tinfoil Trap mixtape is really EDM, really bass and EDM. That bong rips and acid trips joint. And so, like, sometimes I might give you that. Sometimes I might give you something more DMX. Sometimes I might give you something strictly Jill Scott. And sometimes I might give you something that remind you of Queen. It depends on what I feel like playing. And you're going to fucking love it.
Do you think that music is going to have to change at all because of AI? Or do you think that it's going to be like people will just prefer to listen to human-made music just human-made from knowing it's made by human?
Yes, because human-made music hit different. No matter whether we like it or not, when you put a soul... Music is the conversation of God, of the God. It's the way we say we love each other when we can't speak the same language. No amount of computer programming can give that vibration that Jimi Hendrix can give you. Naturally. It can't. No matter what, no AI is going to be able to give the presence Michael Jackson gave on stage.
What do you think about someone like having AI generate the song, the lyrics, the melody, all of it, the whole song, but then having like their 5-piece band go back and recreate it and put the human soul back into it? Do you think that that it's still like a flawed start to begin with because it started from AI? Or do you think
No. That's sampling. Ain't that sampling? Ain't that doing covers? I love a good cover.
Yeah, what about that? What about a hip-hop producer that strictly only samples AI music, but it's all sampled to the MPC and they chop it up and they do all the things?
All right, so let me be clear. That's a sample. That's you're letting the AI create something, and then you went, I'm inspired by that. Let me create something else out of it. That's like telling the AI, if you're a painter, to create you a new type of pink. And when it does, you then create something out of that pink. That's different. That's still you. You're still using your creativity. You feel me? Sometimes you can't afford a band. I play 17 instruments. I can't own. I can't afford 17 fucking instruments, cuz. So sometimes I use my Vocella, which uses an AI to turn my vocals into an instrumentation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Where you can like hum. Yeah, it'll like transpose whatever you're humming into like MIDI, and then it'll play like an instrument based on it.
Yeah, that's AI.
I think it's a fine line, just because I think of I can't remember the exact name of the song, but I know there was a Swizz Beatz song where he just took like a Roland preset and recorded it and then added some drums to it and was like, there's the song. And I remember him, he got a lot of heat off of that. And I always wonder, this is like a niche example.
Oh yeah, no, that's the DMX joke. That's a
yeah, it was yeah, you know, Rough, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, Rough Riders Anthem. I'm a huge DMX
So that was just like a straight up like Roland preset that came off the unit. You just like set it up for the first time. You go to like, you know, demo song 100 and hit play. That was the sample, and it was just looping that over and over again. And I'm just wondering, in that example, if someone were to just generate AI and loop it.
You mean like the Gorillaz did with what's that one? Someone, please just let me out of my cage. That's from a kid's toy. The whole beat is from a kid's piano toy.
So yeah, like how does that compare and the Swizz Beatz track compare, where it just came off like a Roland preset versus someone that straight up generated an AI song?
I'm saying that, actually, I'm saying there ain't no difference. And I'm gonna say what made that song pop, what made Swizz Beatz beat pop on that song wasn't Swizz Beatz beat. It was DMX's voice. It was DMX's soul. You feel me? And without that grit and that soul that DMX put in them vocals, that song wouldn't have been shit. Like, say what you want. It's the same reason why a live band, a band that can really get out, it's always going to be better than a motherfucker who need a backing track.
That's a good. And I think this is sort of like a tangential question to the AI and stuff. But what about like clones, like celebrity clones in particular? Let's say there's like a, you don't believe in that? Zero?
I do. 10.
Oh, a 10. Okay. Well, 10. How do you think it works?
I think celebrities clone themselves and just like, because I wouldn't want to be famous forever. I want to just enjoy no money. And just go like chill on a beach and suck on some titties or something. Like I'm not about to be fucking famous. You following me around all my life? I think Kanye wish he would have made him a clone. I think that's why he mad. He's like, shit, I should have made that fucking clone.
You think these are like stunt doubles, or you think they're legit clones like made in a laboratory?
Clones in a lab. We've been cloning chickens for 100 years. You think we cloning humans?
You think they're cloning them as kids, or do they clone? Like, do they wait for Drake to get superstar and he's an adult, and they clone the adult adult?
I think they clone them as adults, and that's why they got to spend at least like 10 years in industry, because that's how long you take to clone to like gestate shit. Yeah.
Would you ever get yourself cloned?
Hell the fuck yeah! I get forward to motherfuckers. I ain't trying to be famous forever. I'm trying to get a whole bunch of money, love on my wife. In some like beautiful island with some fruit and trees and shit, and like have a pet panther. I ain't trying to chill with you motherfuckers all day. Y'all get on my nerves. I told you I like humans. As soon as the aliens come, I'm trading on all you motherfuckers. They can have all of you.
Are you saying that for sure that the clone would be inferior to you? Like it would be less than a person than you?
Unfortunately, I have an extreme God complex. Everyone is. Okay. Including my clone. Everyone is, including my fucking clone.
All right, so the clone doesn't need to take it personal. That's just how you would treat anybody.
Actually, I would probably treat my, I would fuck the shit out of my clone. My clone would be my husband.
Is that?
I love me. I love the fuck out of me. If I had a clone me, all his ass, oh, I love my husband.
Would it be gay to make love to your clone?
Is it gay to jack your own dick?
I mean, it's the same question, right? Is it?
No. Fuck your clone, man. Whatever you do behind your closed doors between you and that clone, dude. Like, I don't care. I'm bisexual and a motherfucker. I'm going to fuck the shit out of my clone. I got a fat ass. I would fuck the shit out of me. I would love it.
Hey. Oh, man. You'd have a good time on the Secret Society of Good Guys, because that's one of the intro questions, and you roll with it. You bro with it pretty hard.
Yeah, no, that sounds fun too. The Secret Society of Good Guys. That sounds like a debaucherous place.
Yeah, I'll drop your name in the hat. We'll see.
Yeah, definitely. I would love to join.
All right, well, I'm gonna let you go and get some food. I'm gonna get some food too.
Thank you.
Give another shout out. Tell people where they can find you.
And, we'll wrap this up. My name is Spade Morningstar, aka the Deacon of Debauchery. They got all your musical needs. Come holler at me at Spade Morningstar Music on all your social media. SpadeMorningstarMusic.com. Holler at your boy.
That's right. And go to Tinfoil Trap and you can listen to the song that Spade's got on there.
Man, Ball Grips and Acid Trips.
It's a dope song, and as you can hear, he's got rap, he's got some EDM, he's got a blues album he's working on, he plays 17 instruments. Highly recommended. If you had an entertaining time, listen to him talk. Just wait until you hear the music. The music's like next level. It'll all come together like a big puzzle.
I got music that you can think on shrooms to, and music that you can fuck your bitch to. Let's have fun.
Adult-only comic series from Paranoid American, where esoterica meets erotica. Over 80 pages of history fully exposed. This is for adults only. Get your copy now at adultoccult.com.
My life away, driven to write the page. Will it enlighten your brain? Give you the flight, my plane. Paper, the highs ablaze. Somewhat of an amazing feel when it's real to real. You will engage it. Your favorite, of course, the lord of an arrangement. I gave you the proper results to hit the pavement. If they get emotional, hey, maybe your language, your game, how they playing it well without Lakers. Evade them, whatever the cost, they are the shapeshift. Snakes get decapitated, met is the apex. Execution of flame, you out. Nuclear bomb distributed at war, rather gruesome for eyes to see. Max them out, then I light my trees. Blow it off in the face. You're despising me for what though? Calculated and rather cutthroat. Paranoid American must be all the blood smoke for real. Lord, give me a day away, vacate. They wait around to hate whatever they say. Man, it's not in the least bit. We get heavy rotate when a beat hits. So thank us, you welcome. Fuck the niggas for real. You welcome. They ain't never had a deal. You welcome. Man, they lacking appeal. You welcome. Yet they doing it still. You welcome.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.